podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
I think it's an exciting opportunity for us to now sort of set off on a new direction, play football and create an environment that embodies the values and traditions of this fantastic football club.
Bentancur!
Through for Pedro Toro,
and he smashed it in!
Oh, that's a great stop from Vicario.
And Kulusevski rolls it in!
Ben Davies!
LaSalle so freshly introduced and scoring! Now skipped!
Oh. Bejaco Romero. He goes flying in again and wins it. Great work from Romero.
Could this be a chance for Solomon?
That is quite something from James Maddison.
Hello and welcome to The Last Word on Spurs. We are your award-winning Tottenham Hotspur podcast. And we are back for that dreaded word, therapy. Therapy back. Our last one on Spurs, you guys know what that means. The show itself was recorded straight after the game, but we are bringing you an impromptu updated introduction to this show on the basis that we firstly want to congratulate the Spurs women on reaching the historic nature of an FA Cup final. So many congratulations to the Spurs women for the performance, Robert Villaham and the whole team there, and the effort and commitment and desire put in to achieve such a feat. Now, naturally, we're going to be urging all of our Spurs fans out there listening and watching the show to go and support the women and help them go on to win the FA Cup final. They're going to be playing Manchester United at Wembley. It's going to be a really special day for the football club, a really special day for the women's team, given how far they've come in such a short space amount of time, especially under Robert Villaham, for how long he's had that team there. So we urge everybody, if you can, get to Wembley. Go and support the ladies. It's going to be a really, really special day. And look, everybody is behind you. 100% ladies. Thank you so much and well done to each and every one of you. What a tremendous feat that is. Now we need to go on and win it. Just in regards to how Sunday also threw up an element of surprise in terms of the race for the title, which did obviously involve us to some degree. Of course, we saw Aston Villa, our rivals in the battle for a top four finish to secure Champions League football, beat Arsenal by 2-0 at the Emirates. What that result does mean for Spurs is that Villa now move 3 points clear of Tottenham and have a goal difference of plus 19, while that defeat to Newcastle means Spurs sit on a goal difference of plus 16. Many argue goal difference is like having an extra point. And for Tottenham, they do have a game in hand over Aston Villa. So we'll see how that does play out. But look, I think many Spurs fans would have been delighted to see Arsenal drop points, as maybe that does derail their season. Of course, we've got them next in the Premier League. For Aston Villa, that's a big result in their season and will give them the real kick you feel up the backside to reignite their hope for a top four finish. Can I just say, for those that have tuned in, viewed and downloaded this show, thank you so much for your genuine support, as always, for Last Word on Spurs. Look, going to be honest and say, it's going to be emotive, going to be passionate, going to be raw. I mean, for those that, again, as I say, listen, watch, view, Last Word on Spurs, we record bang on the whistle. And obviously that means, with what comes with that, it is honest, open discussion where people are venting how they feel. We try and look at it diplomatically. We try not to break things down. But I'm going to be honest and say to you, it's going to be very hard to offer up a lot of genuine positives on the back of such a defeat to Newcastle United in the Premier League in exactly 1 year ago to where Spurs suffered a 6-1 defeat, and how we thought we might have gone there and learnt our lesson and hopefully would have exacted revenge at St James's Park, but not meant to be. But if you are listening for the first time, you can find us on iTunes, we're on Spotify, we're across all major audio platforms. We're of course on X, we're on Instagram, we're on Facebook too. I'm joined by, thankfully, our returning regular panellists here on Last Word on Spurs that are going to try and offer up some therapy of their own for you and hopefully make you feel better in this next hour and a bit on this show. I'm joined by Lee McQueen, Maka, who has quite literally stepped off his holiday in Spain to come and rejoin us. I'm joined by Richard Cracknell, who, can I just say, for those that are listening on audio, who might think this is a little bit echoey from Crackers, he is somewhere in a Spanish loo. Yes, I said that, Lou. And we're joined by the brilliant Patrick Tyrant, who, again, these guys are going to break it down, try and offer their perspective. on everything Tottenham Hotspur against Newcastle United. But before we go into all that, I just want to say that ahead of the game against Newcastle, Chairman Daniel Levy and Newcastle United CEO Darren Eales laid wreaths outside St James's Park in memory of former Spurs player Joe Kinnear. Once again, I just want to extend our thoughts, our condolences from everyone here at Last One on Spurs to, of course, Joe Kinnear's family at this very, very difficult time. It is time to go into this. Maka, welcome back. Never a dull moment, my friend. Sorry to bring you back into a show of this nature. Look, we've touched upon it, obviously, in the intro there. Spurs were absolutely horrendous. It was our heaviest defeat of the season and our worst since the 6-1 almost a year ago to this time. Obviously, it's only the second time under Ange this season Spurs have been shut out in terms of goals. And after the game, Ange spoke a lot around the emphasis of the painful growth which Spurs are going through. And we have to hope that is going to ring true and stay true. And it is worth pointing out that whilst it has been a horrendous negative day at the office for Tottenham, that we have more points at this stage than in any season in the past five and have scored more goals as well. We've also, alongside that, conceded the fewer less than two last year, despite those defeats to Newcastle and Fulham in, of course, recent weeks. Lee, if you can, how do you sum up that performance against Newcastle United on the Saturday afternoon? Because it just was one of those where we've seen it before, and there is that concern that, you know, earlier in the season with Tottenham, when we would go away from home, we had this real steely nature to us. I remember at the Emirates where we'd go a goal down, but we'd soak up the pressure and we'd come back into a game. And I think the big concern at the moment with Tottenham is that we're going a goal down away from home, especially in the last couple we've seen them, of course, Newcastle and Fulham before that. We don't really have a reaction and we end up capitulating. You know, the set pieces from Tottenham, I think that now is for Spurs, 11 goals conceded from set pieces. And Spurs, as we know, do not employ a specialist when it comes to set pieces. They've got Ryan Mason and Millie Jedinak currently looking after that. And look, Ange just said in the past, he doesn't believe there needs to be a specialist at set pieces. Well, if you're going to concede the way Spurs concede and the nature of the way they concede, you would suggest there is a need to bring somebody in of that nature. That cancel that out because it appears to be a major weakness for Tottenham. But also what was really concerning about that game was the disappointing performances all over the pitch. In a side that Spurs were really, in a way, completely outclassed by a Newcastle team that had a number of players available. And here we are, Liao Lee, having to wait 2 weeks to try and make things right ahead of the most important stretch to the season, in which we know a lot of questions are surrounding the manager's tactics and a lack of flexibility and variation. We're going to come on to that, but first and foremost, Lee, what did you make of that game?
Even I cannot dress that up. Even I cannot defend what I saw today. And again, I will caveat all that by saying I was watching it on my phone in transit. So forgive me if my analysis is a little bit off today. The blue book definitely hasn't been updated from my side, but I'll leave Pat to sort that bit out. Well, it was absolutely shocking. Shocking performance. I think we had two shots on target. I'm sure we'll get into that. But I mean, do you know what really annoys me the most is that it was the basic rules, if you like, of football, of being a professional athlete, which is all they did, in my opinion, was they pressed us hard and they pressed us high and they just had miles more energy, miles more effort. They've got more than half their team out. Like, I also want to say as well, because we get a lot of mixed fans in here as well, like Newcastle fans, they're fair play to Newcastle because they had our number the whole game. And I was saying at half time to you boys on the group that, like, maybe they just did a quick 10-15 minute spell on us like we do to other teams. But, you know, reflecting and watching the second half, it wasn't that. It was the whole of the game. It was the whole of the game. So, look, I mean, I've always been forthright in my positivity and optimism and, you know, that sort of stuff. Based on today's game, based on the performance, based on the outcome, it was from top to bottom a heap of shit. Sorry, I know it's not part of watershed. I'm really sorry, but it was absolutely woeful. So, why? I suppose the question is, why are we putting in performances like that? Is it the up and down? Mickey van der Ven been lauded as one of the best centre backs in the Premier League, And he had a shocker today. Like, he had a shocker. Three of the goals were basically down to VDV. You know, the fourth goal was, well, was an unmarked header. Kulu's on his heels. No one's marking him. I mean, they had our number every single set piece. Every single set piece. Anthony Cross said it in the group, didn't he? Literally every set piece. So, it's a difficult one because of the points and this, that, and the other. Look, and I'm the first one to say, but we're better off this time around, like you was alluding to at the beginning of the show, Rick. But let's have it right. Where we've been and where we are, we should have more points than that now. We should not be going to Newcastle today and getting absolutely bemiffed 4-0 like we got ripped 6-1 last season when we was in utter turmoil. That should not be happening, regardless of where we are on our journey. And we shouldn't, great respect to Fulham, and that was brilliant as well from their perspective, but we shouldn't be getting tonked away to Fulham 3-0 either. So, you know, the reality is, it's not just even about expectations, it's just highly disappointing and infuriating that we can capitulate. We were shit, mate, from top to bottom. There's no other words for it. I don't think any player on that pitch will get more than and I'm probably being generous, more than a 4. There was nothing. Two shots. I don't think we created any chance. I don't even remember. Werner, what's he doing? Going with his foot. He needs to be going in with his head. He scores out with his head. It's 1-0 Spurs. It's a completely different game. It's just a nightmare, mate.
Lee, thank you as always, mate, for your open, honest assessment of how you see that game. Cracks, before I bring you in, I'm just going to play you this interview from Ange Postecoglou, which was straight after the game, in where he was quite prickly with interviewer Sam Matterface, who was asking Ange Postecoglou the reasons for substituting Heung-min Son early into that second half.
You took your captain off midway through the second half. What was the reason behind that?
Same reason I take anyone else off, mate. Trying to change the course of a game.
Did you not think he was having the impact, or was it to save his legs?
Save his legs for what?
I'm asking the question.
Well, no, but if you're asking a question about saving, what am I saving his legs for?
Maybe he was feeling it. I don't know.
I took him off because I take the same reason I take everyone else off. No different reasons to try and change the course of a game, whether that's the captain, whether that's a first game player. You make those decisions that you think are the best for the team. And to be fair, there's quite a few I could have made a change today, but I just felt, especially in that front half, we needed something different.
Now, cracks, on the back of that interview there, you can hear Andrew's getting more and more frustrated, and pretty rightly so. Look, he doesn't take losing well. We know that anyway. He's a man that, straight after a game and a defeat, quite honestly, doesn't want to be speaking to the press. You can tell that by the nature of his tone and voice. And I think that is pretty much kind of summed up by really what he says there around the fact he could have maybe made 7 or 8 changes in relation to the way Spurs were playing that game. And there are lots of big issues, you feel, across the team. And with Tottenham, we know we've still got, you know, a hard run-in of the season still to come. But it seems pretty clear then, anything for me personally, that Spurs need a genuine number 6 who can not only drive with the ball forward, but can actually defend against counter-attacks, which is a massive, massive problem for Spurs. And Bissouma, at the moment, doesn't seem to be that guy. Again, we've discussed this at length on the show. Not sure what has happened from those opening 8-9 games of the season. And again, the tail-off from him personally. But he's not the only one. You know, James Maddison, nowhere near the player also that we saw in his opening 8-9 games of the season. And there is this narrative being thrown around online at the moment that when you compare Arteta's first season to Ange, or Klopp's first season to Ange, or Guardiola's first season to Ange, there's genuine progress being made. And look, when you look at Spurs in general, from the outside looking in, Spurs are in the mix of a top 4 finish. In what I said at the intro was a transitional season, no one expected us to be there. But there does seem to be concerns, cracks, around the lack of tactical variation and inflexibility to want to change a system when things are going wrong. And we have seen results this season that are concerning. Obviously, the back-to-back defeats Wolves home and away. You look at Fulham at Craven Cottage, Brighton away as well. There are results that are concerning because it doesn't appear that elements are being addressed which are reoccurring time and time again. And again, cracks, I want to ask you, when you look at the case with Spurs, that where Ange has managed previously in the likes of Japan and Scotland, he's had the ability to buy players that ultimately then become the best players in his team for that league. And the Premier League is so different to that. You know, with relation to the Premier League, you're coming up against some of the best coaches, the best players, the best managers, that to some degree, ask Steiner Meibel to maybe work him out and suss him out. So I want to ask you, Crax, is there a concern with him tactically for you about the way Spurs have setting up, not just pre-game, but also in game two, and not changing things when things are seemingly going wrong? Because there doesn't appear a reaction from Tottenham when they go 1-0 down recently away from home, but there is in the home games. Give me your thoughts, Crax, for you and how you see things.
Listeners and readers and viewers and everybody else. And you are right, exactly right. I am in a toilet because it's noisy chaos here. I'm down in Resolve. So I have come to the toilet. I'm sat on the pan just so I can get a bit of peace and quiet, because Patrick told me off in the green room, Crax, we can't hear you. You've got to go somewhere else. So I've gone to the toilet. And if somebody needs to go, you better pop next door, because there's another pop next door. So I'm just trying to get a little bit of light in with the shade here. And Rick, there's a lot of shade at the moment, just to try and be a bit serious. Unless he changes, or unless there is some change in the personnel that we've got to be able to facilitate the way that he plays. I want to caveat all this with Ange Postecoglou, the man, I absolutely love. I absolutely love him. He is a wonderful person. You can just tell he's a proper football person. He's a proper person away from football. But if he's not going to mix things up a little bit and change tactics a bit when needed in certain games, he is absolutely going to get found out. And, you know, he's told us he's not for changing. Now, he's managed in Australia, he managed in Japan, and he managed a Japanese Man City. He went to Scotland and managed Celtic, kind of the Man City of Scotland. Now he comes to the Premier League. Rick, everybody, it is levels and levels above most other leagues around the world with what you've got to be, who you've got to be, how you've got to play, how you've got to change, tailor for different games. And if he's not prepared to bend and flex a little bit with how he plays, with what he's got, this is what we're going to get. Because look, we lost to Wolves back in November 2-1. We got dicked at the end at home, didn't we? And after the game, Gary O'Neill came on with Sky or TNT Sport, whoever it was. He came on and he actually told everybody, not just the people in the studio, he told the general public in an interview, this is what I've done to beat Ange Postecoglou's Tottenham. He gave the blueprint. Now, roll forward to February, he'd done exactly the same thing against us at home and won 2-1 again. By doing what he said that he was, how he's going to play in November. So this is the problem I've got, Rick. I watched today on beIN Sport, and I don't know, apologies to beIN Sports, whoever it was as co-coms, and they turned around and they said, Eddie Howe today has looked through the blueprint of how you play against Tottenham and just read the manual. He's read the manual and done that today. It was like he knew exactly what everybody was going to do today, what every player would do, how we would have our set plays, our patterns of play, etc., etc. And he just set them up to counter it and wallop 4-0. So, yeah, it's tough, Rick.
Crax, you know, we'll always say to share your opinion, regardless of how that may be viewed or seen. It's about free speech on Last Word on Spurs, and everyone is entitled to their opinion and how they feel. James Maddison said after the game, I can only apologise to the fans for the fact that they had to witness that scoreline. We weren't good enough, and we have to accept that, look in the mirror, and know we weren't good enough. It wasn't just a fluke. It wasn't that they got lucky goals. We weren't good enough to a man. We need to have a stern talking to ourselves, to pick ourselves up, because we have a period of mourning, if you like, over it. But you've got to quickly switch on. The Premier League comes thick and fast, and we've got a big game next. And by God, do we have a big game next. And Pat, to bring you in. You know what? I said to Cracks there around the concern of the lack of tactical variation and flexibility with Spurs. You know, the first 10 games, Pat, you know, we were such a free scoring and even passing team that to some degree, look, a new manager, never testing the Premier League without Harry Kane, it felt maybe the opposition were used to a slower pace Spurs side, a Conte team that we took by surprise. But ever since that Chelsea game, Pat, Spurs just simply haven't recovered. And despite, you know, dominating possession for most of the games this season, we know, Pat, possession doesn't win football matches. And, you know, set pieces, they have to be defended. As I said earlier, massively concerning for me. You're looking at the fact that Spurs have now conceded 11 plus goals at set pieces. They don't have a specialist with relation to that coach who actually drills them defensively and from an attacking perspective, and relying on Millie Jedinak and Ryan Mason, to those guys' credit, you know, neither of them are actual genuine specialists, which are, again, another debate we can go and wander into. But Newcastle, they had just a 27% possession against Spurs, the second lowest percentage on record since the 2003-04 season, for a team to win by a four-goal margin in the Premier League. And that was after Everton's 5-1 win away at Brighton in May 2023, which again tells you everything. Possession can be a meaningless statistic in relation to what we're seeing now with Tottenham. And quite interestingly, Pat, Eric Dyer opened up on his experience working with Ange Postecoglou and revealed the Australian never focuses on tactical work in training. He said, interestingly, he doesn't do any tactical work in training. What he does is every single training drill from Monday to Friday is drawn up to represent the way that he wants to play. And you do have to ask that question, Pat, how much emphasis is given on the opposition? Because it does feel that when teams come against Spurs, particularly in the last 3-4 months, teams know exactly how Spurs are going to play. They seem to work us out. And I appreciate that the likes of Liverpool, City, Arsenal, all these teams seem to have tough games as well, but they are winning them quite comprehensively. You could say it's down to their squad. You could say it's down to the managers, but I'm well aware, again, I'll reiterate, I know we're in a transitional season. I know, of course, we're on a journey under Ange, but they are reoccurring things with Tottenham that are concerning, especially the zonal marking as well, which we'll come on to. So, Pat, I want to ask you, how do you feel at the moment with regards to a result of that nature and all these questions around the tactical inflexibility from Ange at the moment?
All I can do is laugh right now, because if I don't laugh, I'll honestly cry. Quite damning, to be honest. I'm very disappointing. And, you know, I don't know. I'm trying to be positive because I don't want to sit here. It's easy to slaughter a team and the manager after a loss like that. But there's not really many positives, if I'm being honest. Like, when I look at that, there's ways to lose a football game. And we've now lost 8 games. And the losses away from home are really worrying. And we're getting battered away from home against teams that we should be beating, if we're being honest. If we actually want to finish in the Champions League, Ricky, we should be beating these teams. Fulham away from home, Newcastle today, absolutely schooled. And it's not, again, you know, you can lose a game and this and that, but we got absolutely rolled over. Go on, Ricky.
Can I say one thing to you, Pat? I just want to say one thing. You know, you look at, and I totally agree, look, it's a Newcastle side depleted of injuries, but when you look at the Newcastle team, you know, they've got Bruno Guimaraes in there, they've got Isak, Gordon, they've got Barnes, the front three. This was the first time this season they've been able to field that front three. Yes, maybe outside of that, I mean, Dan Burn, you'd say, you know, again, decent Premier League centre-half. Yeah, you could argue that a lot of that team is a makeshift team. But I still went into this game knowing they've got 4, 5 or 6 decent players that on their day, they can absolutely do a job on Tottenham. But I think the biggest frustration is, and to let you come back on this, Pat, that with Tottenham and the defeats we've had this season, a lot of it has been Tottenham shooting themselves in the foot rather than the opposition. And I think that is the biggest frustration. Pat, I mean, what I will say is, and again, I understand there's a frustration towards the manager. And look, the great thing about this show is we want honesty. We want rawness. We want people to say how they feel. There's no censor here. People can say exactly how they feel. That is what Last One of Spurs has always been there for. But I think that first season, Pat, there's always a feeling under Ange. And again, just going through his previous clubs, that he's working out really the players that are ready to be adaptable and flexible for that second season. Because he said it himself. He's not here to finish fourth. He's not here just to play in the Champions League. He genuinely wants to compete for a title. There'll be people laughing, hearing me say that. There'll be people thinking I'm crazy. You know, people suggesting that when you're getting beaten like this, again, when you compare it to Fulham, to the Brightons, to the Wolves games that we've had, is there an element back to it that he's not got his players yet? Or is there a genuine concern for you that tactically he is not up to the standard when he needs to be with relation to these games? Because we saw in the opening 7 or 8 games, Pat, we've seen it throughout the season, just to be clear. We've gone away to the so-called typical traditional top 6, top 4. We've been unbeaten. We were unlucky not to beat Arsenal away from home. You know, we've been unlucky not to beat Manchester United away from home. So what is it, Pat? What is that massive concern for you?
You know, you raised some good points, but to counter those points, it's all well and good him saying that he wants to compete and, you know, he's not here to finish fourth. But when I look at a manager today and all I see him do on the sidelines is nothing, and we end up getting smashed by a team that we should be beating, like I said, you know, I just don't really see it. And I know it's his first season and I know, you know, it takes time, but a lot of the players there are his players and we're not really suffering an injury crisis. We're playing one game a week. There's not really many mitigating factors I can turn around and say, you know what, we're kind of hard done by. Like, this is a team where, again, Ricky, with all due respect, you said that Newcastle got 5 or 6 good players on their day. But so does every Premier League player. We had 11 players out there today that on their day are very good players, including Timo Werner. I know, again, we're getting to his, you know, the early chance and it might be a different game if he finishes it. But when you look at the quality of the two teams, I'm sorry, we are better than them. And we should, you can, again, you can lose any game. I'm not deluded. I'm not going to sit here and act like, you know, we must finish this place and we deserve, no one deserves anything unless you put it all out on the pitch and leave it there. But when I see a team get smashed the way we did today, I can't really legislate anything for it. And again, tactically, we keep getting outdone. Like, the managers know what we're going to do now. Cool, have the ball, have 74%, 79% possession and do absolutely nothing with it. Their keeper made 2 saves. One was a shot from outside from Timo Werner. I can't remember what the other one was. We didn't test them or put them under any pressure whatsoever. And I look at it and it's poor. It's poor from the manager. The manager's a guy who, at the end of the day, the sword's going to fall on the manager. And today I didn't see anything from him to make me feel comfortable in these moments.
Rick, can I just jump in there where you said with the Eric Dyer comments? Can you read those again for me, please?
Yeah, of course I can. So Dyer was asked of experience working with Ange tactically. He said, look, interestingly, he doesn't really do any tactical work in training. What he does is every single training drill from Monday to Friday is drawn up to represent the way he wants to play.
Okay. So do you know what? That the first thing that came into my head was a Mike Tyson quote. And he said, every fighter that I face has a plan of how they're going to fight me until I punch them in the face. And it's as simple as that. It is absolutely as simple as that. Mike Tyson, that was Mike Tyson. He said, as soon as I punch them, that's it. Their game plan's out the window and it's all over. That's an elite sportsman. So it doesn't matter what sport it is, whether it's football, boxing, anything else. If you're just working on what you're planning for, and not what your opponent can do for you, you're banging trouble, Rick.
To say, Crackers, on that point, I mean, he was actually asked directly at Ange Postecoglou in his press conference before the game today about that question, about that interview with Eric Dyer. And again, a few of the people in the comments are putting it out as well. You've got to look at the context. Ange actually answered that question. And he said, it depends what you mean about tactics. We do tactical work every day. We are working tactically. I haven't watched the interview. I don't know what Eric Dyer meant. But when you're talking about tactics, we work tactically every day throughout all of our training sessions. So you just, I think if we're going to talk about, you know, Eric Dyer, what he's saying, what Ange's saying, you've got to have both sides of the story. And he was asked directly that in the press conference. And that was Ange's response. So who knows what them two are talking about, to be fair.
Yeah.
I mean, what's clear is Eddie Howe's clearly done his homework because they've absolutely roasted us 4-0 today and there's no excuse for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Can I ask you, Lee, to go back to you? Because I haven't actually asked your opinion, Lee, in relation to the tactical element of it. I mean, look, we know you absolutely adore Ange. You love the way his philosophy is about the way he wants to play. But do you look at the concerning nature of these results we've had away from home and there are a trend, or is it down to the players? It's more than the manager. What do you see when you're looking at it?
You can only comment on what you see with your own eyes. And what you saw with your own eyes today is absolutely abysmal. Like, we were rubbish, didn't let a glove on, to use your analogy, Crackers. We got knocked out 3-4 times, hit the canvas, and then in the end, it was a knockout, right? 100%. But you can't also say, in the same breath, well, hang on a minute, there hasn't been progression, because there has 100% been progression. We were under Stellini doing this, that, and the other, and losing games. And, you know, you said at the top of the show, the tonkings that we've taken this year have been what? Chelsea at home today, and Fulham, you know, in a transitional season. So, I'm not trying to defend Ange. I do like Ange, by the way. I'm loving Ange. I do love Ange. But from a tactical point of view, he's not going to change when things get hard for the first time. That's the whole point in a transitional season. Klopp got absolutely hammered at Wembley by us lot 4-1 in what could be a sliding doors moment for them. And it could be the same situation for us today. We don't know what the future holds. But look what Klopp went on to do at Liverpool. Now, loads of people will say, oh, yeah, but it's Liverpool. Here he goes, yeah, we're not Liverpool, we're Spurs. That's part of the mentality that we have to change. And if we keep chopping and changing the manager, and I said, go and dig them out if you can be bothered. I'm sure no one can. I said that we shouldn't be burning Conte. We shouldn't have been burning Conte. We should have been sticking with the managers that we're bringing. We sacked a manager a week before a cup final, a league cup final, who has won the most trophies in the modern era, other than Pep. And we sacked him 6 days before a cup final. We keep making these mistakes. You cannot keep doing that. So the philosophy, the contribution that Ange has made as a football club, as a turnaround of culture, the values of pushing it into a different direction has been... Anybody says that there hasn't been that sort of change, that element of change, I'm sorry, I cannot agree with that. Tactically wise, yes, there's a lot of work to do. But I don't think Ange has ever come out and said, tactically, we're sound, we know what we're doing. I don't think he's ever said that we're the finished article. And what he most definitely said is there's going to be big bumps in the road whilst we're on this journey. And today was a massive bump. But again, the reality of the situation is, if we keep doing this, then I'll be very concerned. But it's only happened two or three times, like you pointed out at the beginning of the show. So can't keep chopping and changing managers. It does not work. And I will bring that, not that lot down the road, but the other lot down the road, where they've spent over £1 billion, got a new manager in, sacked him within 20 days, bought 20 games, bought a new manager in the new season, spent another 400 odd million quid of what they've done, financial fair play all over the gaff, and they're, 17 points behind us lot, and we're moaning. So again, it's context, because you have to get your right people, the right element, the right players, and us fans do play a part in that. But today, Rick, we were tactically inept, we were outplayed, we were outfought, we were outbattled, and we were well beaten, and we were absolute dog shit from start to finish.
And a really difficult one to take, Tottenham's biggest defeat of the season. What happened out there?
Yeah, look, fair to say, credit to Newcastle first. I thought they were really good today. And we just didn't really get to any levels that would allow us to sort of get a grip on the game. And they just did good for us.
Was the timing of Newcastle's goals a crucial part as well, scoring two in quick succession in the first half and an early one in the second?
No, not really. I thought even before the goals, we didn't really have a real grip on the game like we usually do. And I think it became a little bit of a game of transition, which kind of suited them more, obviously. We paid the price for that. But, even outside the goals, I don't think, our football was anywhere near the level it should be.
Why do you think that was today? Why do you think you couldn't get a grip of the game?
I'm sure we'll have time to analyse that right now. Not really sure.
There was a fair few people discussing Mickey van der Ven's unusual mistakes. It's rare that we see him make mistakes like that in a game. Was the more important thing for you as his manager, the way you saw him recover in the game?
No, look, I think for all of them, that's the life of elite sportsmen, elite footballers. You're going to make mistakes. I'm sure he's going to make many more mistakes in his career. Like I said, it's about how you react to them, why you're making those mistakes. But, you know, I think all of us as a group, there's a fair bit to learn from today.
When you made the triple substitution in the second half, again, another rarity, we don't usually see Son come off in a match. What did you want to see differently at that point?
Pretty much everything. It wasn't about the people coming off. It's just, like I said, we weren't really... we weren't taking control of the game. We were allowing Newcastle to kind of dictate terms and made the changes... hoping we could sort of stem the tide and get a grip of it, which we did for a little bit. But, yeah, they're still nowhere near good enough.
No game now for 2 weeks, and then it's the North London derby. How do you plan to use that time in between?
Nothing really changes, you know, whatever you do. We've still got, like I said, we don't have a game next weekend, so that's been in the works for a while, so we'll just train and get ready for the next game.
Appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Phoenix 51 is a powerful employee technology enabling organisations to make data-driven decisions at every stage of the employee journey, from hiring through benchmarking and development too. The platform provides detailed analytics on the most important asset in your business, your people, enabling organisations not only to make the correct hiring decisions, but also how to benchmark, train and retain them. Phoenix 51, powering your people decisions through every part of the employee journey.
James, it must be a dejected dressing room in there. What went wrong for you guys today?
Yeah, just really bad day. We obviously conceded the first goal. And then when you concede a second so quickly after at a place like this, from the kickoff, we sloppily went back to the keeper knowing that they're going to press. Because they do that here, they score and then they try, they build momentum on it and they go and press really aggressively, and we still ended up going back to the goalkeeper and being pinned in, and then you find yourself 2-0 down and it's give yourself a mountain to climb, yeah.
We spoke to your manager and he said it just felt like you could never quite get to grips with the game today as a team. It's Tottenham's toughest defeat of the season, biggest defeat of the season, I should say. Why do you think that was? Why couldn't you get a grip of it?
Well, if I were 0-0 out there, like there was some chances for us, there were spaces to play. We just weren't brave enough, I don't think, today with the ball. Too many safe passes, too many easy options, not enough courage to try and maybe play a riskier pass, and then it's all a bit safe, which I think cost us at 0-0, because it felt like when I was out there, there was chances to play through and create chances. And then, like I said, when we concede one and concede two so quickly, it's just sloppy little details that cost us, and then struggled from there.
People are talking about individual errors as well defensively today. As teammates, how do you rally around a player when there are moments like that in a game?
Yeah, it's one of them. You've got to get the balance right of if someone makes a mistake. You know, as a player, if you make an individual error that costs a goal, that you're the one to hold your hand up. Doesn't mean that you can't demand more of your teammates, but also, yeah, just to try and pick them up, I guess. But we struggled today to bounce back from any. This season, I think we've been good at bouncing back when we've conceded, but today that wasn't the case.
And when Newcastle score here, you can really feel and hear the crowd. Does that make it even more difficult for you?
Well, you just know they're going to come straight or full steam ahead from the kickoff, which is why it's so frustrating that we went back to the goalkeeper, because we know that's going to happen. It's been mentioned that we try and go forward from the kickoff, but especially here, just a bit of nous of even if you just clip it over the fullback, get yourself up the pitch like we did a couple of times from the initial kickoff. But because if you end up back and you've got the likes of Barnes, Gordon, Isaac, who are fast lads chasing and pressing with the adrenaline of just scoring, you find yourself with the ball at the keeper, and then we struggled and we conceded straight away. So, frustrating.
Appreciate your time, James.
Hi there, this is Russ Williams from The Last Word on Spurs. A few years ago, I researched and wrote a book about the huge physical and mental benefits of one simple form of exercise. It's called How to Walk Yourself Healthy and Happy, and it's helped thousands of people all over the world. Now, I've created an audio course which helps people maybe like you prevent 5 serious life-threatening conditions and protect themselves for the future. For example, this form of exercise is the closest thing to a silver bullet for conditions like high blood pressure and high cholesterol levels. If you're over 40, this is the information you need and the simple plan to protect yourself and get results. Risk-free, visit walkyourselfhealthyandhappy.com/audio-course or click the website link in my profile on X.
I think the biggest issue when you look at today and then you look at the season and then you look at the bigger, wider issues, the bigger issue is we are starved of, as a football club, of success over the last 20, whatever it is, 25 seasons, one League Cup in 17 years, two in 26, whatever it is, right? And the fact of the matter is, the fact that I'm even saying whatever it is just goes to show you, doesn't it, that, you know, we're just starved of it. So any little bump is really hard to stomach. Any little bump, because as soon as we have a bump or a battering like today, you know, we can't just dust ourselves off and go, do you know what, don't worry, we're going to be back to normal again next week. Because actually, back to normal to us is up and down, or, you know, is it Spurs or whatever you want to call it. But again, you go back to the man, the Argentina, the guy that's down the road, the Argentinian man who Crack's alluded to. His first season was up and down, up and down. Arteta's at Arsenal, up and down, up and down. Even Pep's. Finished 8 points behind Tottenham, for crying out loud, in his first season. That's at City. Klopp finished, you know, 63 points or whatever in his first season. So I know people don't want to look at that, but when you're striving to be the Cities, the Arsenals, the you know, the Liverpools, the Man Uniteds or whatever, Chelsea's have gone by, the other big six, you have to compare in that way. So you know, you can do what you like, right? But what I can't say that. I can't jump on Ange and go get him out because we've had a couple of bad defeats, when I know we can go and batter Villa 4-0 at their place. I know, I've seen it with my own eyeballs, that we can play Ange ball and be unbeaten at the Emirates, go to the Etihad and get a 3-3 draw, not parking the bus, beating Liverpool at our place. So I've seen it. I've seen it with my own eyeballs. There's something there. It's just not coming as quickly as we want. And that's the bigger picture, is that's the frustration. Because we won it yesterday and we deserve it. Us fans deserve it, but
yep.
It's not coming yet, is it, Rick?
Pat, Ange just spoken after the game and said, look, it's a tough one to take. It's a bit raw at the moment. Credit to Newcastle. They were good. We just didn't really get a grip of the game. It felt like we let Newcastle dictate how the game was played. We never really got to grips with the game itself. We weren't able to execute any of the stuff we usually do. Credit to them, but we just have to take it. It ended up being a transition game, and a lot of that was self-inflicted by us. We weren't brave on the ball. We've been really good this year at understanding that when we have the ball, we can be a threat. Certain players are shielded away from that. When you do that, you allow the game to be played on Newcastle's terms. And, you know, for what we've said about Ange, I know that you can disagree a lot with what you said there post-match, Pat. Would you agree with a lot of the comments there Ange just said?
Going back to your point, Ricky, where you said a lot of the players aren't his, a lot of our fan base, me included, are worried that Ange won't get the backing that he needs to make it his team. And we've seen it time and time again. So, you know, maybe... Again, like, I can't go crazy, and I'm never going to be Ange out in this first season. It's insane. I think he's having a good season. When you separate the games and you take them case by case and game by game, I think he's having a good season. So I'm going to put that there. Going off what Ange said today, the funny thing is, like, for the first 30 minutes, I thought we was actually really good in the game. We controlled it. We were the ones setting the tempo. We were dictating the play. And then against the run of play they scored, they turn back and it's 2-0. I'm like, what's going on? And then after that, we were just shaky. We look really, really, really poor on crosses. I don't know what's happened, but we're so bad on crosses. And I don't know what's going on, but we seem to concede about 15 corners a game, which is crazy. Compared to other teams, we always concede so many corners. And this zonal marking stuff really needs to change, because we're just getting outdone on every corner. They're always, as in the other team, always first to the ball. We're always just praying that they don't get a good connection on it. They did for Shah's fourth goal. And we just always seem to be... They keep saying that Vicario is shaky on crosses. I don't think it's Vicario's fault. I just think the zonal marking is really poor. And we always allow one of their players or two of their players to really pin into the ground as well. We're just really bad on set pieces, and that needs to change.
Now, in terms of the team for the game, Spurs making just the one change. We saw, of course, Rodrigo Bentancur coming in place of Pat Matasar, who we understand is still managing that back issue as things stand. And quite incredibly for Tottenham, the change in that team meant that is the 19th time this season Spurs have had a different midfield combination, which tells you a lot about the fact Spurs have still not found their preferred midfield. And here we are with six games left of the Premier League season. And again, as I said at the start of the show, really stressing the need to try and address that number six position. So Spurs lined up with a team of Vicario, Porro, Romero, Van de Ven, Adoghi, Bentancur, Bissouma, Maddison, Johnson, Son, Werner, with a bench of Austin, Davis, Emerson, Dragosin, Højbjerg, Sarr, Lo Celso, Kulusevski, Hill. Now, Pat picked up on it. Spurs had quite a decent start to the game. We had a chance as Bentancur sent Johnson down the right. He hit a first-time cross into the box, and Werner volleyed over from the angle, many suggesting why he went with his foot as opposed to his head, which took the more natural opportunity. And then he had yet another chance only a few minutes later. Maddison got down the left-hand side and into the box, cut it back to the German, who fluffed his shot across the face of goal. And just as opening chances there, similar to the game at Craven Cottage with Fulham, Spurs could have arguably been two up very, very early on. I know there were concerns about the referee's performance. Dan Burn somehow escaping a yellow card for bringing down James Maddison on the halfway line as he ran into acres of space. And even the normally calm Ange Postecoglou really lost his temper on the touchline. It was not a good few minutes for the referee as well. Maddison also could have picked up a yellow card just before that for a challenge down the left flank, which he avoided a booking for. And then moments later, Van der Ven was the man that got booked, which looked somewhat harshly in the circumstances. And then Lee, look, Newcastle go one up. Spurs punish giving the ball away up the pitch by a Newcastle counter. Destiny Adoghi, not for the first time in recent weeks, dispossessed, loses the ball. Gordon then plays in Isaac to score as Van der Ven slips in the process. Too easy for Gordon. And then Isaac, of course, slides home to put Newcastle 1-0 up. And, you know, again with Tottenham, there is this concern that there is some genuine, real, real poor defending where we're making Lee 100, 200 passes and trying to walk the ball in every single week. And then one long ball, Maka, and it's 2-on-2. I mean, can you understand the nature of how we go from attack to defending in a matter of minutes and just so easily we're carved open?
Yeah, the thing that was really frustrating about that scenario is that we actually was in a very good position in and around their box. I think we lost the ball and then won it back high in that same phase of play. I think, bearing in mind I was in transit and watching it on my phone, we actually won it back. I thought, oh, go on. And then whoever the player was, I can't remember who it was, maybe it was Destiny, he just kind of slowed it down a bit and then he got robbed. And then one long ball and then they on the attack and off they go. And it's constant. That's what I was saying about the basics of football, what Eddie Howe got his team playing today, or the players executed what the manager wanted to do or whatever, and Tottenham didn't, was that high press. The pressing, moving it and get it. Whenever we've been brilliant in spurts, in games, you talked about it's 10, 15-minute spells, it's been when at home against Brentford, we went 1-0 down, didn't we? We were shocking. We come back out in the second half. We had a 10, 12-minute spell where we were outstanding. Winning the ball back high, bang, 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 went 3-1 up. Then we gifted them another goal and it's still a bit dodged. And it's been like that quite often throughout the season. And you've got to put your chances away in this league. You've got to. I mean, Werner has to score that chance. And one long ball, because we play a high line, and normally, Mickey van der Ven is just gobbling them up. And today, he wasn't, was he? Let's be fair. I mean, I don't want to dig him out. He's had a couple of shockers there. Fair enough. I mean, he's been brilliant for us, but he's had a couple of shockers.
Yeah, he has been. Look, Isak had two brilliant shoot opportunities in the last couple of minutes in relation to that first half where, you know, quite honestly, Spurs win a situation where, and you look at the way they concede again, Pat, come over to you. You know, two inside, just 2 minutes. Porro slightly under-hitting a pass from right back. Gordon latched onto it, puts Van der Ven on the floor again. And all of a sudden, it's 2-0. It's an absolute mess from a Spurs perspective. And, you know, you've touched upon, Pat, the concern around our defensive nature. Is this just a complete freak show from Mickey? Because Van der Ven has been, I think we can all say, up until this game, arguably the standout player of Spurs this season. There's no doubt about it. Anyone watching this guy across Europe, around the world, will be looking at Van der Ven thinking, this guy is the next big thing. He really genuinely is. He's a real top centre-back. Can we just say, Pat, it was just a bad day for Mickey?
Yeah, it was the commentator's kiss of death, honestly. Like, Rio Ferdinand and even Ali McCoist, they were bigging him up so much before the game. Rio said he could arguably be the best centre-back this year. All these stats about how quick he is, blah, blah, blah. And then he goes and does that. If you were watching him for the first time, you would have literally thought he was our new version of Davinson Sanchez. He was all over the gaffes, slipping, sliding, falling over. I don't know, honestly, like, what happened to the boots? Was he wearing the wrong moulds or studs or whatever? But it's uncharacteristic. But at the end of the day, it happens. And you know, they capitalised off our mistakes. What annoyed me the most is that, like I said earlier, we were in complete control. Lee, you got it right before. It was Destiny Adoji. He fell over weakly and kind of protested that it was a foul. It wasn't. He had to be stronger there. They robbed us 1-0. Isaac 1-on-1, very good finisher. You're going to be very hard to stop him. And obviously, when Mickey van der Ven fell over, it kind of gave him, you know, both corners to aim at. He gave the keeper the wrong eyes and slotted it in a near corner. Fantastic finish. Cool. I thought, okay, annoying, but we'll get back into it. And then the camera cut away to the kids. It cut back and Anthony Gordon's running away celebrating. I'm like, what the hell? So it's 2-0 within 2 minutes and we're just all over the gaff. And then I was thinking, oh man, this could get ugly because, you know, they scored two quick goals. The crowd's bang on it now and we're just looking shell-shocked and all over the place. And again, the second one, Pedro Porro with a really poor kind of volleyed back pass into no man's land, into the danger zone that you don't want to put the ball in. And they ran onto it and scored. And it's just individual errors. Like, we work so hard. And what annoys me the most is that we have so much possession and we just keep going sideways, backwards, forward. Like, we're not really doing anything. So you're working hard to try and break them down. And then all they do is one pass and they're in, 1-on-1 or 2-on-2. And it's happening in every game now. And it's something that needs to be addressed. And Crackers, you got it right. Like, he's got to change something. We can't keep being this open in transition. We concede so many goals and so many chances. The corners is a worry, like I said before. The zonal marking is a big concern. That needs to change. Like, if I was going into Spurs today, I would sit down and say, this is what needs to change. Boom, boom. There's nothing wrong with adapting and changing. Like, if we're just going to sit and play the same way in every game, we're going to come a cropper because these are easy mistakes and they're things that can be fixed. And the season's not a write-off yet, but if we keep playing like this, I mean, God forbid, we've got much harder games on the horizon. With all due respect, Newcastle, decent team on their day, but there's much better teams that we've got to play. And if you turn up like
this, quickly on that as well, Pat, yeah. The thing is that we've been playing quite a few like low block teams. So I've been looking at this, I'm thinking, you know, maybe that passing, knackering them out, getting them in a second. But Newcastle arguably weren't really a low block team, did they? They didn't play five in possession, really. And you know, maybe actually for the first 20 minutes, as away games go, you probably could say fair enough to Spurs and quieten the crowd. It's very partisan. Yeah.
Werner should have scored.
Exactly. As soon as they got that goal, as soon as they got themselves in front, and then they got another one straight away. Again, quite similar to us versus Forest the other week in the second half, where we got bang really quickly. Very, very difficult. We were shell shocked, and we never really came back at all, did we? We just couldn't get a foot in the game whatsoever.
And that 30 minutes to 40 minute spell, we were very lucky not to concede again. We were well under the cosh. They had corner after corner. We were rocking. We were very shaky. And I'm looking at the manager thinking, this is where you need to do something, change it up. Or someone on the pitch needs to say something and we can kind of play it. We play the same way in every game, every time, every phase, playing out from the back, really risky passes, you know, inviting danger. And it's all well and good when it works, but sometimes you need to switch it up, man, because it's becoming so obvious. And Newcastle were, the ref pissed me off. Don't get me wrong, I can't blame anything on the ref, but the yellow cards that he didn't give to them.
In the opening 20 minutes, ridiculous.
Yeah, he allowed them to be really physical. They pressed us hard and physical, which is cool. I don't know how Bentancur didn't get a penalty, by the way. Like, I think it was Dan Byrne. He literally kicked his shoulder. He kicked him in half. Yeah.
That's a free kick anywhere.
It's 100% a penalty. It doesn't make no sense. Yeah. And then, again, Mickey van der Ven got a really cheap yellow card considering he didn't want to give one to Maddison, who blocked Anthony Gordon, and he didn't want to give one when our guys were getting tugged and pulled left, right and centre. So he didn't have control of the game. But don't get me wrong, I can't blame the ref whatsoever on that performance.
For me, the key areas is, you know, not having them shots. And the under Conte, people say we're really defensive, we were really this, we're anti-football and that sort of stuff. But I'll be honest with you, I checked the stats for even last season when Conte was still there before his rant. We were on average having 7 or 8 shots on target a game. And we're not doing that under Angeball. I don't know if Angeball, I'm not having a go at Angeball, I'm just saying he's Angeball myth. I don't know, because I thought Angeball was high intensity, we never stop, high press, get in their faces, win the ball back, shoot, score, attack. We saw that from Newcastle today, did we not? We did not see that from Tottenham at all.
I know we've done this debate, I don't want to push us back into it, but again, I will say Premier League, so different to any other league in the world. And look, again, we've said this before, you know, look, we've gone back into that debate once. I don't want to take this back into it because we'll never get back out of it. Like Cracks' toilet, we'll never get back out. Cracks, I want to come over to you. Andrew said after the game that with relation to Mickey being caught out, I think that's a kind of symptom of the whole collective of it. I don't think it's one person that was at fault. It was about a collective. And he was asked what was he concerned most about the performance. He said, look, I'm concerned about all of it. I don't think there was one area that cost us. I don't think there was in any part of our game that reached the levels that needs to be there for us to be able to play the games on our terms. So whether that's physical aspect, the technical, the tactical, all of it, we just never really got any sort of tempo or intensity that we needed to stop a team that's got momentum right from the start. And I want to ask you this, Cracks. We've got some big games coming up. And I actually referenced this point in the preview show of this game that Spurs do have in them a 20-minute streak where they just go absolutely missing in a game. We've got big games coming up. And my concern for me is that, sorry to bring them not down the road, the Man Cities, the Liverpools that we've got to come, you cannot give a team 20-minute spell to do exactly what they want to dictate, because we aren't going to collect many points between now and the end of the season. And that's not me being reactionary. That's not me being knee-jerk. That is me being brutally honest about the Premier League, about the teams that we're going to be coming up against and the quality they have, Cracks, right?
Rick, you can't give teams 2 minutes. Never mind 20 minutes. You cannot give teams at this level 2 minutes.
Now, in relation to those goals conceded that we've discussed there, Ange Postecoglou was asked after the game why Spurs are so vulnerable on the counter-attack, which he responded, we allowed them to dictate the way the game was played. It ended up being a transition game. A lot of it was self-inflicted by us. We weren't brave enough on the ball, and we've been really good this year at understanding that when we have the ball, we can be a threat. Certain players, we just shielded away from that during this game. When you do that, you allow the game to be played on Newcastle's terms. When that happens, especially away from home, it's hard for us to then claw it back once it got away from us.
With regards to that second half, I think the biggest concerns now we have is that Emerson was being called back from his warm-up to come on with Pedro Porro down, which looks like to be a hamstring issue. He was actually signalling a couple of times in the first half and looking towards the bench. So we'll have to see if we'll get an update from Ange in these coming days. Second half, I'm not going to bore you too much. Obviously, Isaac made it 3-0. Sonny lost the ball. And just so everybody knows that we don't try and sugarcoat on here, Sonny, you could say to some degree, was also comprehensible in relation to the first and second goal of losing the ball whilst in transition. So that is a concern. But you know what? We could sit here, and I think as Pat and Lee said earlier, we could go through every single player that didn't do their job today. It was once again, similar to Craven Cottage, an absolute poor, 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 poor day at the office. No one is getting away from that at all whatsoever. And, we saw the rounds of substitutions. Højbjerg, Kulusevski replacing Bentancur and Son. Lo Celso replacing Maddison. I mean, again, there was an element of that, the third goal of Mickey van der Ven channing his inner Davinson Sanchez in the terms of what a disaster the day had been. It ended 4-0. Newcastle were threatening to score from a set piece, really, all afternoon. And they did it with Cher. And he leapt highest at head home, of course, from a header. Bad, bad day at the office. Spurs now, once again, have a 2-week break to the Arsenal game, which, look, for those, listen, I think for any Spurs fan, it is the biggest game of the season. So I do want, if I can, close it on this specific question to all the guys. And just said, with relation to playing Arsenal and City, he laughed and almost kind of shrugged his shoulders in relation to, is he concerned? Is he worried? Didn't seem to be that worried. This is the problem as well, isn't it? You have 2 weeks now. We have to sit on this and you can't even react to it. It's a really
exactly
crap
feeling.
Exactly the same
feeling. as Fulham. International break straight after Fulham. And we've got to have to start this now for 2 weeks.
Yep.
They have just sent us out. I've had a bad weekend. The whole weekend's ruined for most people watching and listening. All the viewers, all the listeners, us. I mean, you're going to be thinking about it. You're going to watch all these other teams, blow other teams away, get the ump of it. And you've got to sit on that now for 2 weeks.
Cracks, got to say, mate, he's stuck in a bloody toilet in the middle of a Spaniard somewhere. On literally red and black, not on a roulette table either. Cracks, between now and Arsenal, what needs to happen? What needs to be done?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know, Rick. Listen, if we play like we did today versus them, we're going to get absolutely spanked. We will get absolutely our arses handed to us on a plate. So
you confident of a reaction? Would there be a reaction? Would there be a reaction for Arsenal, Craig?
I think there has to be. Yeah, it's look, it's Derby Day. Form goes out the window on Derby Day. They've got a lot of pressure on their shoulders because they're going for the title. So, and the players should feel it. They should feel today, and they should feel that game in isolation. So look, if we come 2 weeks' time and we beat them, we'll be absolutely cock-a-hoop, but we've derailed their title charge. But do you know what? Spoiling other teams' seasons, that's a West Ham thing. That's other team things. That shouldn't be a Spurs thing. That's a West Ham thing, isn't it? They could end up fourth bottom every season. But if they beat us twice a season, they'll go, oh, that's a great season. That's a West Ham thing. That shouldn't be a Tottenham thing. That should not be a Tottenham thing. Listen, if we beat them in 2 weeks' time, I'll absolutely love it. I will love it, but it shouldn't be the thing from our season where we go, ha, 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 we spoiled your season. We've got to be more than that, Rick. We have to be more than that. The size of this club, it has to be more than this. There's a lot of things at this club at the moment that I'm looking at and I'm just questioning. I'm sat on a bog somewhere in Spain. Lee's just come off of a plane. You've got a party to go to. And Pat's so good looking, he's probably got 15 women he needs to date this evening. So we shouldn't be here this long, but we are. So yeah. Thank you very much. I'm off to the beach. Goodbye.
Crackers. Thank you, mate. You're an absolute star. Pat, we're going to come around. You're going to close it with Lee. Pat, James Madison said, it's just been a really bad day. We conceded the first, you conceded the second so quickly after a place like here. From the kickoff, we were just so stoppy, and we went back to the keeper now, and they're going to press. You find yourself 2-0 down. You know you give yourself a mountain to climb. He said, look, I felt 0-0. There were some decent chances for us, spaces to play. We just weren't brave enough. And I think with the ball, we were just too many safe passes, too many safe options, just not enough courage to try and play with a riskier pass in mind. It was all a bit safe, which I think is what cost us at 0-0, when you can see two so quickly. It's sloppy details like that that has cost us. He said about rallying around Mickey. He said, look, we've always found a way of bouncing back from anything. This season we've been good after conceding, but that wasn't the case with regards to this game. Pat, final thoughts as we've got Arsenal in 2 weeks' time. Feelings as we go into another dreaded break that we didn't really want.
I can't lie. I'm usually someone that's very optimistic. And even as we spoke before, Ricky, I was really positive going into this game. I thought we would win the game today. I didn't think it'd be a comfortable game, but I thought we would have enough to win. And we absolutely got our asses handed to us. And it was a harsh reality check of essentially a team where one team came to play. The manager got the tactics right. One team was set up and ready and really pumped up and was willing to run through brick walls. And we just looked lethargic, lazy, and essentially the players look like they didn't want to be out there. And you know, in this level, or this in the Premier League at this level, even if you turn up and you're 1% off it, you're gonna get beat. We were like 10% off it today. And so I do go into this Arsenal game worried. I know there's so many cliches, form goes out the window in the derby, every game's different, blah blah blah. But when I look at how we play today, I am concerned. Of course I would be. Anyone would, you know, we got beaten 4-0 comprehensively. But I know that, again, on our day, we can be a good team. But if I go off what I saw today and I go off what the manager, how he didn't set us up correctly and didn't really adapt to what was going on, and we're playing better teams with better managers, it is worrying. But I know I don't want to be negative and go into that game thinking like that, because every game is a clean slate and a chance to really put a marker down. But like I said, going off what I saw today, it's a big concern. Pedro Porro's out. If I'm being honest, I don't think he was good today. Will we miss him if he plays the way he did today? No, we won't. Let's be brutally honest. Ange needs to do something, because like I keep saying, Sonny playing as a number nine, he's being wasted. We really need to figure out what's going on. Timo Werner, again, we said it a couple weeks ago here. We all said that we wouldn't keep him. Today gives you that reason why. You know, like, funny enough, the chance that Madison created for Timo was identical to the chance he created for Son in the North London derby away at the Emirates. The difference is Son put that chance away and changed the game. Today, Werner, another miss, and it's a chance that we're ruined. And it's just the same thing over and over. I like Timo Werner, seems like a good guy, gets himself into good positions, but ultimately, if we want him to be a guy to finish chances, he's not that guy. So squad player, maybe, but as a guy starting week in and week out, he's not good enough, man. So yeah, I don't know. I mean, defensively, we're all over the place today. the crossing, the zonal marking stuff needs to change. There's a lot that needs to change, but we need to get our asses into gear. If we want to finish fourth, we really need to step up. And I said it earlier on Twitter or X, however you call it now. I said, if we play like this, I don't want us finishing in Champions League places. As you guys know, I've been very consistent with my theory and thoughts.
Same as you, Pat.
If we finish fourth and we finish strong, fantastic. Yep. We deserve to be there, and I'll take it. But if we're playing like this, and I said this before this game, and today's a perfect example of why I said what I said. If we're stuttering, poor performances away to Newcastle, imagine us finishing fifth
in
the co-efficiency. We'll get battered.
Why is there a shame, Pat? Europa League might be our level. Europa League is a great ground in, I think, competition where you've got an opportunity there to play some teams that are on the up, you know. And Europa League has become a well-respected competition. You know, for Spurs to win that, there's an opportunity there to get back into the Champions League. That's what everybody wants. You know, I don't want to bore everybody here. You guys know I'm a cup man. I love to see us take the cup seriously. I think European football for me, you know, I want to see us actually go into Europe and be able to compete in Europe. I don't want to see us go out of our depth. And I mean that with all due respect, but I don't want to go down that discussion. We could be for yet another hour. I don't want to do that to you. But
you're right. And I'm the same way. I mean, if I see what I see today, 3-0 at Fulham, 4-0 away at Newcastle, imagine PSG away. You know, I'm not being funny. We're just not at that level right now. If we finish strong and we finish fourth, there's an argument. If we back ourselves in the summer, then we will be better. But if it is what it is right now, no, I don't want to see us in the Champions League. I'm sorry. It's just not worth it. It's a waste of all of our time.
I can't just say, I mean, there's no harm in it. I mean, before the season, if anyone said that Spurs would have been competing for fourth place, not many would have believed it. But look, people know the nature of these shows. We've got fans that actually come on that go to games week in and week out from the terraces. Crackers flies over from Spain to go to games to do the Legends Night. Lee is there for every home game, for the away games he can get to. Pat's there for the home games, of course, as well. And I think the nature of it is that you get raw emotion on this show. You get passionate. You get honesty. We don't dress it up. There are no narratives. There are no agendas. People say how they feel. No one's being censored. And that's why I feel, for me, that's, again, not being biased, we've got, for me, the best guests that come on last one on Spurs. We've got the best show because we've got the best people out there that give you real, honest truth. They don't hide behind anything. They don't tell you things for the sake of telling you things. They're going to be honest. They're going to be real. And if you don't like that, then that's just the nature of the way this show is. Maka, as said, there's no point sitting here feeling sorry for ourselves. We've got another game in 2 weeks. It's all part of our growth. And sometimes growth is painful. Close it with you, Maka. How big are these 2 weeks to really get some establishment here with what's to come for the final remaining games of the season? Big games to come.
Weird he said that, because I said that earlier in the show, didn't we? So sometimes you've got to go through pain. I think the key thing is, and just going back to the alluding to the Australian fan base as well, is that, you know, we've had this pain for so many years, which is why we've fed up with it. And you've got to put it into context for these new players, for Ange and these new players and this new project, for those that hate that word, I know, but it's all new to them. But to us, it's not. We've seen this all before, and this is why it becomes so painful. Look, I'm going to finish it by saying this. We have to put it right against Arsenal. I was always, always confident that we were going to beat Arsenal, and I'm not going to waver, but I'm not going to be deluded enough to think that we're just going to blow them away. But it is a North London derby. It is at home. We have won our last 8 out of 9 home matches as well. So we're very different at home than we are away. But we have to beat them. Team, viewers, listeners, we have to beat them. It has to be a performance where we go into that game and we get in their heads and we win that football match.
Maka, thank you. And guys, again, thank you so much. It's the hardest thing coming on the back of a defeat to try and give some optimism. But I know people love the therapy. So again, thank you so much. Really appreciate it. We have been the last one on Spurs. Thank you so much for your support. We are going to be back with you during this break for Tottenham with some feature shows for what that might do to us. But look, from Lee, from Crackers, from Pat, we've been the last one on Spurs. Please keep safe, keep well. We'll be back soon. And as always, come on you Spurs. Sports Social Podcast Network.